Welcome to G.L. Horton Stage Page. Today is Sunday, February 25th, 2007. Gerilyn has been getting the ICWP Festival in shape for over a month now, and it all starts to happen next weekend. This week, we have three pieces dedicated to this festival. First of all, we have our calendar, written by Bill Stackman. Then a part of an interview recorded with Kelly DeMar, another interview, this one with Eliza Wyatt, and finally, the playwright herself. Here's Prof. Will's recommendations for this week. The flurry of openings in February is finally over, but next weekend, the Improbable Beasts from Lynn open a limited run of a very small cast version of Shakespeare's The Comedy of Errors at the Charleston Working Theater. They'll then take that to the Lynn Center for the Arts. The Puppet Showplace has another puppet slam this coming weekend in Brookline. The Boston Playwright Theater is currently running a production of novelist Leslie Epstein's King of the Jews, directed by John Lipsky at Studio 210, adjacent to the Huntington Theater. This coming Saturday, they will feature works of local playwrights. More about that in a moment. For reviews by Will Stackman, go to On the Isle at profwill.spymac.com, or just follow the link provided on the cover art. Two weeks ago, we featured part of an interview with Kelly DeMar. This is another part of that same interview, with a different focus, how being a woman affects her career as a playwright. Here's Gerilyn Horton, interviewing Kelly DeMar.
Only 16% of the plays that are staged in this country are written by women, new plays.
Right.
We were up to 22% in the 90s, but we've slipped back down to 16 again. So we try to support each other and remind the world that women have unique perspectives on the problems that we share and the solutions that we find and the joys that we experience. And we need to hear more women's stories. And in connection with that, you and I are working on a project right now.
Right.
Through the International Center for Women Playwrights.
Yes, and the upcoming Women's History Month in March.
In March.
All month. And the activities that we're getting together, the one I'm really excited about creating and organizing is the one that's going to showcase specifically 8 platform women writers and their short plays. And we're going to do that with the sponsorship and being hosted by Wellesley College. Nora Hussey with the Wellesley Summer Theater has very generously offered the Ruth Nagel Jones Theater on March 3rd at 7 p.m. And we are going to have 8 women playwrights from Playwrights Platform, and we are going to present our pieces or short plays or pieces of work that we're working on, and we're going to have a director's panel that's going to consist of some really wonderful Boston area women directors, and also a male director is going to be there too. And we're going to have an evening, I think, that's going to be very exciting about helping women get their new work staged and produced in the Boston area.
And as a companion to that, there's also going to be a production on monologues, where 16 or more women writers are going to have actors do their short monologues, which could be used for audition purposes or classroom work, and give them a chance to experience working with fresh material that no one's ever seen before. And it won't be something that a director already has ideas about how it should be done, because, of course, it will be fresh to the person who is judging the actor, as it was fresh to the actor when they were the first one to come to it.
Yeah.
GL recently spoke with her dear friend Eliza Wyatt. While Eliza was born and raised in Brighton and neighboring Hove on the south coast of England, she spent much of her married life in the Boston area. When Gerilyn first arrived in Boston, she got to read in one of Eliza's plays, Eliza being the first female playwright she'd met, and decided playwriting might well be suited for other women. Eliza is living mainly in England once again, but she's here now and will be participating in the ICWP event Gerilyn has thrown together.
We're about to be an event in Boston that's sponsored by the International Center for Women Playwrights, where both Eliza and I are members. There was a similar event in Boston in 2003,
And it was called Hurrah.
Hurrah.
And that's what this is. It's a hurrah for women playwrights, yeah. A celebratory event. However, because this is an international organization, people complain that hurrah doesn't translate. Figuring out what that combination of letters is supposed to mean and typing it into Google if you're, say, French or Czechoslovakian is just a bit of a strain. So we decided to call them celebrations of women
celebrations.
Playwright because there's a word for celebration in everybody's language.
That's the global language. That
there are five little celebratory events here in Boston, and the one that we're sharing is taking place on March 8th at the Boston Playwrights Theater, and it's a celebration of women playwrights who write monologues. The purpose of the event is to try to get more local actors to use our monologue material when they audition for local theaters.
They often do. People have told me, I used your monologue, and I said, well, did it go down well? Oh, yes, they loved it. But nobody ever came back and said, where's the script?
Well, we're trying to hope to raise consciousness about this issue because these monologues do often come from very good scripts, which are hard to get on the desks of the literary managers and directors who run these programs.
It's not hard to get them there. It's hard to get them to stay there.
You mean to get them read?
Yeah.
Well, you must have much better luck at getting them there than I do then. Well, you've had an agent on and off, right?
Well, I've never had anything done from a theater company in Boston, ever.
You've had lots of things done in Boston.
But not from a theater company who's had a
self-produced or
artistic manager or a literary manager.
Or
funded in any way.
Or cooperatively produced.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we had a theater company, the three of us, you and I and Amy Merrill, for three seasons, in which we produced things of ours and things of other playwrights that we found interesting. And that went fairly well. We lost very little money, considering.
Yeah, we did. But we burned ourselves out a little bit.
I was totally exhausted at the end of that. But for this piece, this is just a one-off. It's a one-night production.
We can manage that.
Right.
But even so, you apparently have been very busy with it and
I haven't
stopped writing.
That's right. I haven't gotten anything written or done anything in my personal life for at least 6 weeks, just trying to pull this event together. And I hope everybody has a wonderful time.
Well, I hope they appreciate it, too.
No one will appreciate it. They'll all notice what I didn't do right.
Yeah,
but that's all
right.
You take that over the carrot.
No, I notice when you do these kinds of things, people very rarely send a thank you a week later, which they would if you invited them to your house. But you host an event where they can show their work, and everybody comes, including the playwright's relatives, and they never give you a thank you note afterwards. It's interesting. Or very rarely does anybody.
Well, I don't
remember.
Notice that because, of course, I don't write thank you notes either. I'm very bad that way. I'm grateful, though. I remember these things with gratitude. Anyway, this particular event is going to have some very exciting things in it. Some of the best actors in Boston have agreed to come and donate their services and show themselves and the playwright off in a monologue that lasts anywhere from a minute to, I guess, 5 minutes is the limit. You could do two shorter ones or one longer one.
There's going to be 15 in March 8th, Rosanna says.
Okay. I thought she said 16, but 15 or 16 pieces. And playwrights, which means there may be more pieces, because some can do two short ones. And your piece is going to be?
It's called Joe Troubadour, and it's written for a black actor. And Joe Ben is going to do it.
And it's about regular monologue length, right?
It's a regular monologue, a page and a bit, so it shouldn't be more than
2 minutes.
2 minutes. But knowing how Joe acts, it could be longer, because he's inclined to take his time, which I love.
But not everyone does.
But not everyone does.
Joan Faber, who's the pianist on Martha Mitchell, is going to be doing background music for the piece that I'm doing of Rosanna's Martha Mitchell.
Oh, great. I saw that show in Gloucester. It was great.
And
a real expose of a political time in America that's very similar to
yes,
now.
Yes, and I'm
impeach
still
the president
impeach
time.
The president. And I'm still touring it if someone will give us a booking.
Oh,
so
great. No,
I'll just put in
relevant.
A little plug for it. So we're showing it off to the Boston community. The last time we did it actually in a public space in Boston itself was in 1988. That's a long time ago. We did it then thereafter in Edinburgh and and a few other places, but the last time we actually had it on a Boston stage was in 1988. So we thought we could do a little snippet of it and remind everybody that it still exists and we'd still like to do it. Then I'm going to have an aria from a mini opera that I wrote the book and lyrics for.
Which you never got produced, actually.
No. It was produced, but it wasn't produced with the entire score. They did the easier sections of the score and then just played the rest of it as background music under the rest of the lyrics as dialogue. It is a sung-through opera, more or less.
It would be nice to have that music on.
We don't have a recording
well,
of that
I mean,
music.
After the fact,
sure. Well, we'll take a microphone when we go to rehearse with Joan and get some of the music actually recorded. Anyway, Joan is going to sing that song as if it were a cabaret song. It's the mother's aria at the end of the opera, which is also suitable for a grandmother. She's looking back at what she thought would married life would be like when she was being courted, when she was a dancing princess, and how frustrating and duty-bound it is once you're the mother of a slightly difficult small child. And the opera is called Lullaby, and she'll be singing about 3 minutes of it, and then Robert is going to do 2 minutes of a monologue from another play of mine called Elegy, which is also about music.
Here's Geraldine describing what you might see or hear next weekend, should you attend some part of the ICWP celebration.
The ICWP, International Center for Women Playwrights, is a cyber organization, and I've been a member from just about the start of it 12 or 15 years ago. This March, they're celebrating women playwrights in events around the world. That is, there's one in Mesa, Arizona, and one in Kirchner, Ontario, and one in Bucharest, Romania, and one in New York City, and 5 here in my local Boston area. The first one is on March the 3rd, and it's at Wellesley College, and 9 playwrights who are part of Playwrights Platform will be putting on short works, followed by a director's panel and a little reception. On March 8th, at Boston Playwrights Theater, some of Boston's best actors are going to showcase women writers' monologues in audition format. That event will be followed by a party. On March 10th, there are 2 events, one at Central Square Library in Cambridge, a writer's workshop called Writing from the News, and then presentation of 5 playwrights work, and then in the evening at LaSalle College there'll be an art show and some Bunraku puppets performing Hortense Girardot's The Rosewater of Doña Felicidad. On March 15th, there'll be a final event in the Boston area at the Brighton branch of the Boston Public Library at 7 p.m. Most of these events have some refreshments and a chance to meet and get acquainted with the authors. So if any of you show up, I'll be very pleased to meet you and put a face to the ears that I imagine are out there. On March 23rd, Rosanna Alfaro and I are traveling to New York City to take part in the ICWP event there, which will be at New York's Drama Bookshop.
Are you looking for the latest in theater news in the Boston area? Who's doing what or what possibilities are opening up? Those are some of the topics we cover weekly in G.L. Horton's Stage Page. We also try to cover the adventures of the playwright, actress, and theater advocate, G.L. Horton. That's G.L.Horton's Stage Page in the arts section of iTunes or http://glhorton.podomatic.com for your web browser.
It seems we have a couple of folk listening in Dedham, possibly at the Noble and Greeno School. Welcome, and please let us know what you like, or not, about our shows. Same hi there out to the folks near Denver. Send GL an email at g.l.horton@mindspring.com. Send a recording or request a reading. Notice to the listener in New Brunswick, possibly in St. John's. Been there. Lovely city. We appreciate your listenership, and we hope we're keeping you happy. Same to our new listener down in Pennsylvania. Send us an email. Let us know what you're thinking about. That's pretty much it for this week. Hope you'll be back here next week for more monologues and more talk about theater. Until next week.